new month. We have a new topic. We're going to talk about, I believe, in the Trinity. You know, when you think about the Trinity, a lot of people kind of get, they don't know really what to say. They don't know how to explain. They don't know how to define. And it leaves a lot of people confused. How, when we say three in one, I'm going to talk more about this here in a moment, we say three in one, how do we really uncover that? How do we really explain three in one? How do you get three from one? It's that new math, I guess. But one of the things that we must understand, and part of our belief is that we believe, this is taken from the Declaration of Faith, we believe in one God, eternally existing in three persons, namely the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost. We believe three in one. We believe in one God, both God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times people kind of wonder, what does that mean? And do we believe? And so this is something we're going to tackle this morning. Because again, just to remind you, we're called by God to give an answer. Give an answer to whom asks of you. Explain what you believe. Explain. Not just say, I believe in God. What does that mean? How can you explain that? I believe in Jesus. I believe in the Bible. Last month we talked about the Bible. I believe in the Word of God. It is God's Word. It is God, the eternal Word. It is the inerrant Word. And so how do we unpack that and how do we explain that? Just to say, I believe the Bible, I'm sorry, just saying I believe the Bible isn't good enough. It's not. The devil can believe in the Bible. Hello? And so we've got to really understand that not only should we say what we believe, but why do you believe this? And so if we talk about, I believe in the Trinity, and of course there's all kind of examples that people give, and some, I'm sorry to say, and I'm going to be very nice today, but some are not right. Some examples that people give are not biblically true. Let's just call it what it is. And so we, who are servants of God, children of God, must understand that we've been called to study the Word so that we can not only tell what we believe, but explain it and break it down. And so this morning, I got, if you stand with me, I have three passages I want to read. Go to the next slide, please. Three passages I want to read, okay? I believe Trinity. Matthew chapter 3. When he had been baptized, Jesus immediately came up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit descending like a dove and alighting upon him, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Matthew 3. Then in Matthew 28, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Then in 1 Corinthians 13:4, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. And so again, I want to talk about I believe in the Trinity. Let's pray. Father, I approach your throne today to ask you that you would have your way. That you would have your way not only in all of us, but Lord, have your way through me. As I can declare, that I would declare, Lord, what you have put in my heart. And declare what thus saith the Lord. That I may speak, Lord God, the word of life that you have given to all of us. To bring clarity, Lord. And I pray for the anointing and the unction of the Holy Spirit. Touch me, Lord, not only my mind and my spirit, but touch my body, Lord, that I may deliver what you want for this time and this hour. In Jesus' name, we pray this. Amen. And amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Thank you. So if we believe in the Trinity, we believe in the Holy Spirit, we believe in what God, you know, that we believe in one God, then how do we really explain this? Well, let's go to the next slide. What do we believe? Look at this. To say that we believe in one God is something that we would call monotheistic. Three in one. One God. Mono. One. Theism is God. So one God. We are monotheistic. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. Three persons, but one God. Now, I know what you're thinking. If I see three people, and I know a lot of people say, well, what am I going to see? Let me stop you right there. Okay? What does the Bible tell us? God is a
spirit.
And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So if God is a spirit, we need to quit thinking of God in humanistic terms. Stay with me. If God is a spirit, define spirit. Does a spirit have a bodily form? It can. But do we collapse the Godhead, or we collapse everything into a bodily form to say that is God? No. But again, you've got to keep in mind, when God anointed the authors to write this, how do you explain something you've never seen before? You describe it as best you can. Now, when we look at the word person, you really break that down. Basically, it comes down to essence. Not persons in body like you and I, but three essence in one God. See, if we believed in three gods, that would be tritheism. And this is where a lot of people get hung up on. Now, it's kind of funny, and I'm being nice today, but you get to some oneness folks. And if anybody here believes this, I'm sorry I'm going to step all over your theology today. But when you really talk to oneness folks, a lot of them are what we call Pentecostal oneness. They believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, they believe a lot of the Holy Spirit, the movement of the Holy Spirit. They believe that if you aren't baptized in the Holy Spirit, that you ain't going to heaven. But, hold on. But how can you believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit if you don't believe in the Godhead? If you don't believe in the Trinity? Well, they say Jesus is God, Jesus was the Holy Spirit, Jesus is this. Well, aren't you still coming into three in one? How can you see in Scripture when it says the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit? There's three. But yet it is the Godhead. And so this is something that people really have a hard time trying to wrap their brain around. And again, do not try to put this in humanistic terms. And don't limit yourself to say, well, when I get to heaven, am I going to see three gods or three people, or am I going to see one? You're going to see God. You're going to see the Father. You're going to see the Son. You're going to see the Holy Spirit. But we also understand that they are co-equal and coexistent. And so you cannot distinguish them as you leave the Father to say, oh, well, that's the Son. Even though they do fill different roles, it's still the Godhead. There is no ending and there is no beginning to either or. Now, I'll talk about that more in depth at a later time, but today I want us to get this. Okay, let's look at this. But and I shared this last time, or I think Wednesday night actually, that when you look at the Trinity, you will see the Trinity existing in the Old Testament. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That word God means Elohim. In the beginning, God, in the beginning, Elohim created the heaven and the earth. Elohim is plural, meaning more than one person was present in the Godhead. And so in the beginning, Elohim created the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, created the heaven and the earth. That is a plural term. Let's go on. We go down a little further. For Genesis 1:26, it said, let us make man in our image. Who's us? Who's talking here? Let us. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image. Let me blow you a little. You ready for some more? Go into Isaiah. You go into Isaiah, you will see. Isaiah, he says, "Whom?" Chapter 6, verse 8, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? So look at this. Whom shall I send? I didn't put this on the PowerPoint, but who shall I send? hard to swallow to think about this in 3-in-1. Understand. God. Understand Him. Oh, there I went. I said gender. I know the world's wanting. You ever figured out yet why the world's trying to cancel gender? You ever figured that out? Because if they can cancel gender, I'm trying to be nice today. If they can cancel gender, they cancel out him and her. Man, woman. You with me? There is no man. There is no woman. It's whatever you identify with. Which, that's a whole other topic. But let's get back. Let's go back to Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? He created man and breathed into him, man, and man became a living soul. And then he created woman, who, like Adam, was created in the image and likeness of God. Man and woman are created, are likenesses of God. You with me? If we can cancel man and woman, we can cancel the existence of God. Anything to do with God. Have you not figured this out? All this does not have to do with gender identity or any of that. It has to do canceling God, period. That's why it's so important for you and I to read our word, to get into our word, to understand the word. Then we begin to see what the tricks of the enemy are all about. If we get the mind of God, the heart of God, the insight of God, then we see what the enemy's up to, and we see all this junk that they're trying to do in our society, trying to cancel out everything and try to cancel out the existence of man or woman, which ultimately leads to the cancellation of God himself. But to the child of God, we will understand this, and we will understand the Bible. And in our Bible, it reminds us that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against, he shall condemn. And we also realize that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. We also understand from his word and from the God that we serve that we are powerful and greater than the enemy that comes against us. Why? Because Jesus lives within me. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you and I. And just like Jesus, who went to the Father and said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do," as the same Jesus that came out from the water, and the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," is the same God that is fighting for you and I, that has given us insight, that's given us power, and has given us the instruction we need through His Word. We see the triune God in the New Testament. Father spoke his approval to his Son, as seen in the baptism of Jesus. Descended, the Spirit descended on him as a dove. Once again, in this moment, you see the voice of God speak. You see the Savior and the Son of God rising up out of the water, but also the Spirit descended him on him like a dove. The Father was present, the Son was present, and the Spirit was present, all there together. And for some to say there is no God, God help you. Each person of the Godhead, yes, I know, has a function, has a purpose, has a function. Sometimes we wonder what all this means. What function, what purpose do they have? Well, we get an idea, one of many ideas from Stephen, Jesus Christ as our high priest. We talked about this on Wednesday night. Our high priest is standing right now at the right hand of God, making intercession for you and I. Oh, what a beautiful picture that is to see. Some even get into the fact that, and I'm going to take a lot of time, but this is going to kind of mess with you a little bit. That's fun. That's fine, right? Some will take that and say, well, there's two gods. Does Stephen see two? No. Even though he's seen the Son stand at the right hand of the Father, keep in mind, does that mean the Holy Spirit is a dove? And ideas and concepts to follow. We explain things sometimes in a weird way. Think about this, and one quick example. I shared this a couple months ago or so. You know, when you go to sleep, you wake up and somebody, how'd you sleep? And you say, oh, I just died. Did you really die? Wow, that's pretty awesome. You died and you rose again. That's pretty cool. No, we went to sleep, but we likened it as we just died. Didn't mean we died, we just likened it like. We kind of put an example. Don't mean you died. And so this is what we see in Scripture. Again, do not collapse and do not try to explain spiritual things with humanistic terms. We try to give us a better idea and a better concept and a better understanding. But we've got to go back to this. God is a spirit, pure and simple. God is not flesh and blood like you and I. But yet we have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. Wait a minute, whoa, what does that make up? Do I separate those? When I go to bed, I just take my soul and I hang it up in the closet. Take my spirit, I put it in the drawer. Lay my body down for the night? No. It stays with me. You are a tritheistic being. Some of you chew on that later. Let me get on. I got to hurry. I don't know how much more my knee will take. God is the Father. Or we see God the Father. In Ephesians 1, Paul writes, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we see also, Stephen, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. And so when we call him God the Father or the Father, that gives us an idea that, you know, and of course Jesus said, you know, about the Father, the Son, you know, how you love your children, how much more does our Heavenly Father love us? If a child asks for, you know, bread, will you give them a stone? If they ask for meat, will you give a serpent? You know, and he said, how much more does your Father? And so we get this concept of Christ, or excuse me, this concept of God, God the Father being the all-caring, the all-knowing, the all-wise one that gives us insight and gives us understanding. And so God the Father, but also God is the Son. That, you know, and we see the language in Scripture, God the Father and Jesus, God the Son, are placed side by side, and it becomes clear that they are co-equal and co-existent. One is not necessarily above the other. Some will look at it, and this is something you do church history, and you begin to look that in the early days of the early church, they begin to question this and examine this. Is the Father over the Son? And is the Son, is the Son subservient to the Father? And they come to the conclusion that no, the Father and the Son are co-equal and coexistent. One is not above the other. One doesn't serve the other. They are co-equal and coexistent. he was born of Mary, and that's not true. He took upon the form of man as Jesus, but before Mary was even a twinkle in her daddy's eye, Jesus was alive and well in heaven. We didn't know him as Jesus. We didn't call him Jesus. We called him God. We called him Elohim. But when he came to earth, he laid aside his deity. Oh yes, he was fully man, he was fully God, but yet he still laid aside his deity to take upon the form of man and to die a human death. Why? For our salvation, for our redemption, so that we could be, because of his sinless blood. There's a lot to talk about. We could spend hours and hours on this. But I want you to get a grasp of this. He's called, God the Son is called God. Jesus is called the Son of God. The Spirit is called God. And in all this, we see that God the Father, God the Son are co-equal, coexistent. One wasn't before the other. The Father didn't say, hey, let me create myself. And so he created Christ. No. And let me create the Spirit. No. They were all existent. God. Before there was anything, there was God. Yo, I know this is deep. This is deep. I understand. Why is this important, Pastor? Why do we need to hear this? Why do we need this? I'm glad you asked. Let's get to this. Because it is, are you there? Yeah. It is worth noting that we believe in one God, not three. There you go. We'll go to the next slide. Knowing God. Knowing God desired to create me and fellowship with me. Let us make man in our image and in our likeness. We were created. We were wanted. We were desired. Not one of us was an accident. Not one of us was some mistake. I know sometimes we call kids, you know, that were planned, well, that was a mistake. No, no, there's no mistakes. There's no mistakes. Not one of us. I'm sick and tired of people going around saying, you know, they're unwanted, they're unloved. No, you're not unwanted. No, you're not unloved. Jesus loves you so much that he died. God died for you. He gave up it all for you. And it's important that we understand that all this, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we're all working together to bring redemption for you and I so that we can come back and be reunited with him once again so that we can walk with him and talk with him and hear him tell us that we are his own. Knowing that Jesus the Son came to earth to die for my sins. Knowing that the Holy Spirit came to be with us always. Because when Jesus left, he said, I'm going away, but I will send another. The Comforter, he shall be with you. And he will not only be with you, but he shall be in you. I don't know about you, but that's exciting to think about. That Jesus not just is walking with me, but I got the Spirit inside of me. When I got the Spirit inside of me, guess what? I got the Father and I've got the Son. Because you can't distinguish one from the other. You can't separate the Spirit from the Son and the Father. They're all co-equal and co-existent. So guess what? I've got God inside of me. I've got the Father giving me wisdom. I got the Son reminding me that he died for me. But I also got the Spirit reminding me that I can make it. That greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. That the power of God is in me and wanting to go through me to touch a world. Amen. you're full of the Spirit or you're full of God and you ain't hungry for the world, then shame on you. Do you really have God in you? Jesus died for the world. His heart broke for the world. God sent his only begotten Son for the world. Are you hearing me? The Spirit was here, is here today to help the church win the world for Jesus Christ, to win the world for the gospel's sake, to tell the world about the love and sacrifice of Jesus. And if God is in us, then should that same mentality be in us as well? I can love them, Joey. I can have compassion for them. I can talk with them. That's all we need God in us, church. I'm reminded of Jesus when he wept, when he was here on earth and went out to the edge of the city and looked upon Jerusalem. He wept for the over the city. Because it said they were like sheep having no shepherd. I'm wondering sometimes, when was the last time we, the church, looked at our city and looked at our community? As many being sheep having no shepherd, people having no guidance, people having no purpose, people having no understanding that Jesus Christ came and died for them. When was the last time you wept for the lost? I think my mic's dead or dying. But when I think about all this, I'm about ready to stop. When I think about all this, I got to think about how great God, our God is. But then I also go back to some old songs. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty. God in three persons. Blessed. And also there's an old song I love to hear. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Anybody remember that one? Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love you, adore you. I bow down before you. Heavenly Father, Son of God, what a wonder you are. Think about it. Then we go, Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. You remember that song? We sang to the Father, we sang to the Son, and we sang to the Spirit. So who do we sing to? God. And when we think about all these wonderful things of God, can I one more thing? We're going to shut this down. I want you to think about this. You remember the part in Scripture that talks about no man can see God? Do you see him in his fullness? Matter of fact, when you go back to the book of Exodus go back to Genesis, and Moses wanted to see God. Show me your glory. And we see where it changed his appearance. Now, I don't have time to get into all this, but I just want to throw this out to you for something to chew on later. Moses couldn't take. And it, what he seen could not, what he seen changed his countenance. It changed his appearance, right? But when you study that out, Moses did not see the fullness of God. The Bible tells us he's seen the hinder parts. Now some will say he's seen the backside of God. Well, study a little further and you will see something else. What he's seen was some things that God had done and the glory of God, the residual. Because he put his hand, he reached here, he put his hand over and walked past him and he's seen the hinder parts. Many scholars believe this, that when Moses, what Moses seen, because no one had written, who wrote the first five books of the Bible? Moses. How did Moses know the creation story? It was inspired, right? Many scholars believe that in that time, in that moment, God was revealing the creation story to him, for he began to write in the beginning. He's seen not only the present, but the past, and some even say he saw the future of God. Now, if you see all that, honey, it's going to change you. It's going to rock your world. You're going to change. Your countenance is going to change. The Bible tells us that when Moses came off the mountain, he glowed so much, they had to put a veil over him because they could not look upon him of what Moses had seen. Moses didn't see the fullness of the frontal part. He didn't look at God face to face. But what he seen, enough changed him. But here's the beautiful part. One day. And one reason that Moses couldn't see all that is because Moses was still in a sinful body. He could not behold all that. But one day, you and I, this mortality is going to take upon immortality. This corruption is going to take upon incorruption. And one day, face to face. One day, we'll get to look upon him. John describes some of this and say, you know, in the Revelations, we see that this bright, intense light that came from the throne of God. But John described the best he could to give us some idea of what we're going to see. But guess what? When this corruptible body takes upon incorruption, and when this sinful body takes upon incorruption, we will see him face to face and we will behold his glory in all its fullness. And then we will fully understand God and all that he is. Oh, can you think? I don't know about you, but I can't wait. I can't wait for that moment. I can't wait to see him. We sang earlier, oh, I want to see him. To look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. On the hills of glory, let me lift my voice. Oh, I don't know about you. I want to see him. I want to see him. Stand with me. Father, right now, Lord, as we stand in your presence today, and Lord, as we stand, worship team, come on, get ready. Lord, I just ask you right now that you would just, I want to behold your glory. I want to see you, oh God. But Lord, until then, until that moment, Lord, there's some things that we're going to have to go through.
I just want to ask you right now, everyone praying, everyone, every head bowed, you're here this morning. I'm not here to embarrass you. I'm here to help you. We're here to pray with you and lift up. That's what church is about. Lifting up the hands which hang down, strengthening the feeble knees. If you're here today and say, Pastor, I just need prayer. I need God. The Father, the Son, the Spirit. I need God to intervene in my life right now. I want you to come and stand. We're going to gather around you and we're going to pray with you this morning. I'm not going to take a lot of time, so if you need prayer, come now. Don't wait. You know whether you want God to move in your life or not. We're going to join together. We're going to pray. The Bible instructs us to pray over those. So come right now. Anyone else? Before we change order, I want you to come right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, only you can move. Only you, God, have the answers. Only you, Lord, have the solutions we need. Lord, only you can move mountains. Move right now. Anyone else? I'm going to ask some saints, I'm going to ask some ladies to come gather around these this morning as we're going to pray over them. And rest, I want you, the rest of you, just pray. Just ask the Lord to touch. Lord, reveal yourself to me. Ladies, come and pray with me.